press A, hold it, wiggle around the stick.
Yep.
You're good.
Wiggle around the stick.
Wiggle around the
That's
stick.
That's like a good, like, number one. Game, now that I think about it.
Wiggle around the stick while you're taking a
number one. Recorded on Zoom, it's the Diamond of Truth podcast.
What's up, guys?
What to do?
Hey. What's up?
Diamond of Truth is here. We are back. Another exciting week of gaming news and a lot of news going on with streaming, streamers and news and corruption and allegation drama. It's too much going on, man. I remember when video games used to be simple when we were kids. Just plug them in, play them. But now social media and the internet is a buzz. You can find out everything about anything. last night, Dr. Disrespect came back on after being mysteriously banned from Twitch and started streaming on what, YouTube now?
It was YouTube.
Yes.
Yeah. And he comes back, you know, blazing in his nice red bulletproof looking armor gear and the shades, man. Look at those luscious locks. I say, you got some competition, man. You got some serious competition with the
Oh man. I don't know that mustache though. I don't know if I can compete with that, bro.
I know, but yeah, we gotta see if we can get you up to the Dr. Disrespect level with the appearance there.
But, nah, man, he's gonna be the counterpart.
I'll be Dr. Respect.
I was about to say you're gonna be Dr. Respect.
I'll be the protagonist.
Wear blue. With your locks and clean shaven face and glasses.
Telling everybody to use their manners when you're playing games against each other.
No swearing, Johnny.
He got you good.
GG's all around. Good game, guys.
All right, now go back to your room and finish your homework, Johnny. You got boned.
Dr. Respect is in the house. Oh, man. Well, so Dr. Disrespect comes back on YouTube last night, and of course, his messaging, which I don't understand how, you know, you watch people that live stream and do things, whether it's live and they have the chat box going. And if you have as many followers that he does and viewers that he does, he has like over 500,000 people live at once. And the chat box is just flooding, just going up crazy.
Yeah.
But everybody's asking the same question. Like, what happened? What happened? Why'd you get banned? And, you know, it's the same question. And at the end of the stream, he addressed it, I believe. And, you know, he gave the answer that he was probably told to give, which is, you know, we can't talk about it, or he doesn't even know about it. Actually, he doesn't even know what it is, but we're not going to talk about it. We're going to leave it up to our legal team to find out what happened. But at this point, I think he's just going to move on with YouTube, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't think he's going back to Twitch.
Yeah. I wouldn't either.
Yeah.
But, it's crazy. I just wanted to talk about it because, you know, we talked a few weeks ago when we talked to Hefty Gamer and about Twitch. You know, that's kind of like really the first kind of insight I've ever gotten about Twitch or streaming. I didn't realize how big it is. This guy, he really just takes it over to a whole new level when you stream, like with the whole persona.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I know we talk about different kind of ragers at play, and but that's what some gamers love seeing. That they like seeing the emotion, whether it's fake or real. Mm-hmm. But he kind of does like a whole TV show when he plays. So it's like it's really amazing to see how gaming has grown. And there was I think a week or so ago that I think it was PewDiePie got in an argument with somebody about how gaming is not a career, it's not a sport or something like that, or it's not liable to a liable career. It might have been a politician. And they got in a serious back and forth about how gaming is, and gaming is what gaming means for certain people, and how it's an outlet and how it can actually give you a career.
Wasn't that from Joe Rogan?
Yeah, that was Joe Rogan. Right. It was Joe Rogan.
I remember we discussed something like that last week.
Right, right.
Yeah.
I think we did off the podcast. Yeah, it was Joe Rogan. That's right. And Joe Rogan, who was like a really who has a top podcast in all pretty much podcasts. His podcast is probably the most downloaded each week. But it was an example of not being aware of what gaming can do. And Dr. Disrespect is kind of a testament to that. Like, this guy, I don't know what he did before, but he's taken it streaming to a whole new level with his persona.
Yeah.
So it's pretty cool to see. And, you know, I haven't watched him enough. I'm gonna keep my eye on him to see, you know, what he's doing on YouTube now. And I think as much money as he was probably making Twitch, you know, I think it's YouTube's game.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
because I mean, he already has the followers.
Yeah, look, wherever his followers wherever he goes, his followers will go.
That's right.
So rebuilding isn't going to be hard at all for that kind of thing to happen.
Mm-hmm. And YouTube, I think YouTube, if he gets behind the power of Google and YouTube, I mean, that can open up a whole lot new doors. Twitch is Microsoft, right?
No. Twitch is Amazon.
Amazon. Okay. So
Mixer was Microsoft,
Mixer, but then right.
Closed that to partner up with Facebook.
Right. We definitely did a podcast on that too.
Yeah.
Right. So I think the powers with Google and YouTube might actually even be a benefit for Dr. Disrespect, because more people are probably on YouTube daily than maybe they are on Twitch. I don't know. But either way, like you said, his followers will follow him.
Yeah.
Well, Isaiah, you have three loyal followers here for Dr. Respect right here. So
we yes, got sir.
I get my channel ready.
I'm gonna advocate it too.
You can be right next to a good sir.
Yeah. It's gonna be a good sir.
Good sir is my main competition. Forget about Dr. Respect.
Who's gonna be the nicest, good sir or Dr. Respect?
You know what this whole thing actually reminds me of?
What's that?
It's almost like, you know how back in the day, I mean still right now, it's almost like WWE, you know how in the ring they got their personas and all that.
Right.
So that's what this reminds me of right now.
That's true.
With it is streaming with their personas. It's almost like another avenue for you know.
It is. No, you're completely correct. Yeah. It is. And that's what Vince McMahon was. That's why he was a genius behind WWE and making it more of a soap opera, more of a TV show entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why they actually changed. Well, there was another reason why they changed from WWF to WWE, which is World Wrestling Entertainment now. So they're entertaining you. You're coming back to see what happens next in the story. So,
South Park did a whole episode on that.
They did.
Yeah. Where they literally made it a musical stage play. Was it Cartman that got addicted to abortions? Yes. It was something so stupid.
Oh, South Park. At this point, you feel like they've done everything at this point. But it's cool to see the similarities and see where gaming has gone. Like, I feel like, I honestly feel like we were like 15 years younger, we could have been doing something like this. But
the amount of time we spent on games, man.
Exactly. But yeah. It's cool to see people still doing streaming and people taking it as far as this. So we're gonna hopefully check in with the Hefty Gamer soon. I've been following his streams, and he's still doing his things. Go follow Chris Hefty Gamer if you haven't on Twitch, and then after you follow him, you'll follow Good Sir and Dr. Respect.
There you go.
Oh man! But also this week was PlayStation hosted a State of Play, which was their next thing to show off new games for not only PS5 but also PS4 and some VR things too. So they actually showed some pretty cool games. I have kind of queued up like the best top seven games there that they showed off. Various different games that they showed off that we'll go through. But it started off with Crash Bandicoot 4, which is it's Crash Bandicoot, It's About Time. I guess being that it's been so long since they came out new one. Did y'all play Crash Bandicoot back in the day?
Yeah. On Jarrell's PlayStation.
Yeah. It was like a staple. It was like, I think Crash was mainly like Sony's, their mascot when it first came out. I mean.
Yeah. I mean, even on The Simpsons, when they made a parody of that, with Lisa was pretending to be sick. It was like, it was a dingo. Something with like power crystals and stuff. It was something like that. When Lisa was pretending to be sick, she got addicted to video games.
And you, clearly was Crash Bandicoot.
Yeah.
But this game looks, it's supposed to be pretty difficult, which is, I guess, good coming with the fan base that grew up with Crash. And it still looks like Crash. It probably feels like it. A lot of more playable characters. Still got that. That Crash look to it. So it's cool to see a Crash Bandicoot coming back. Cause I know the, I think the same person that remade the Spyro games was part of this as well too, which was another.
Really?
Yeah. Which was, he was a, another Spyro was Spyro. The Dragon was a big franchise for Sony too.
Mm-hmm.
Along with Jak and Daxter, they kind of played around with different mascots, but Crash was the OG.
Yeah.
And so Ratchet they had that.
Clank.
Oh yeah, Ratchet and Clank too. Ratchet and Clank, which is also coming back for PlayStation 5. They showed that off at their, I think, the PS5 reveal official, which looks really good too.
Yeah, they did. With the they had a like a female Lombax who was playable too. That
right.
They revealed.
Yeah, it looks good too. So and Ratchet and Clank actually had a cool little multiplayer. I think the second one. It was pretty fun. So yeah, any other games? Any games y'all see that you like? I know you probably caught a little bit of it, Victor. Anything you liked out of the state of play?
I only really got news of the you know that one controversial one.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Aeon Must Die, which was a game that was showed off, but it was shown off actually at this state of play.
Yeah.
But then. And then it got
almost immediately, another trailer got posted by the former dev team saying, "You want to know the truth? Click below."
And would you like to know more?
And come to find out, they stole the game, it was a corruption or something.
So apparently, it was basically like hardcore crunch. They didn't pay the developers properly. Like, they didn't get compensated for their time that they spent to develop the game. So they retaliated and almost like the whole dev team resigned, including, I think, the CEO one of the leaderships resigned, something like that. And then they were posting that video in order to say that everything you see in this trailer was worked on by former developers of this game. And, you know, like they got stolen wages because they weren't paid properly. And, you know, it's basically unpaid overtime.
Right.
So, yeah.
And that game actually looks really good. It was actually supposed to come out on the Switch as well, too. It has like this shell-shaded look to it. I don't know what's going to happen to it now. I'm sure it'll probably still find a way to come out, but the fact that it had that controversy behind it could definitely hurt its chances.
Oh, definitely, definitely. Because, you know, people don't want to support. Because, I mean, there's been a whole thing, especially since after the whole BioWare and Anthem thing, you know, when we finally got the real story behind that.
Right.
With the whole culture of development teams and stuff, the crunch, people don't support the crunch anymore. Like if they hear about it, they're like, oh man, I don't know if I can support this game anymore, even though it looks awesome. But you know, you treated the developers terribly. So
yep.
I don't know. Cause if you, buy the game, you know, it could be a totally awesome game, but at the same time, when you give them money, you're also supporting that culture of, you know, the high stress situations and, you know, unpaid overtime. And especially because with art in general, you know, because video games, you know, it is art.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is.
With art in general, when you're looking for, when it comes to the payment side of that, a lot of people who are asking for artists to, you know, come in, do the work and everything, they see that the artist wants to do what they want to do. So right. They use that against people who have this passion, who really wants to do the work because they love what they're doing, or they love the company, or they have some sort of history with it, like Nintendo, basically. Mm-hmm. Or, for example, BioWare. People grew up with BioWare. They love Knights of the Old Republic, and they wanted to get into it. So then, you know, when they apply for jobs to do art for these companies with legacies, the people hiring, they sense that, you know, I can take advantage of this need and want, because you're not really going to negotiate, because your desire to be here is greater than what you need to live on.
Right.
So that's how people get screwed over. But I mean, it's not just video games. It's artists in general. When you're looking for talented people to do things, because you sense that they absolutely love what they want to do.
Mm-hmm. And they'll give anything to do that. And then they can take advantage of them, of their want and desire to make their art, that they'll risk, you know, sacrificing money.
Especially if there's a legacy behind it where they're going to, like Nintendo is a huge one. You hear stories about that all the time, about how developers, like, I grew up on Nintendo and it inspired me to want to be a person who creates games.
Right. But rarely do they get a chance to do what they envision, what they've always had, because of corporate things, you know, businesses. If it doesn't make the dollar to them, it's not.
There's always someone out there to take advantage, basically.
Always.
And then that's when they should say, you know what, peace out, I'm gonna start my own company.
And that happens sometimes.
That happens a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, really?
It does.
Which is, they might not be as successful, but at least they're happy and more content with what they're doing.
That's why you keep hearing about people say,
freely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's why you always hear teams saying, oh, we're the former developers from blah, da, da, da.
Mm-hmm.
Like, or for like example, Moon. Remember I talked about Moon last week?
Oh, yeah.
Right.
The studio who did Moon was created by a former Squaresoft employees. So they left Squaresoft back, because this was before Enix was acquired by them. And they created their own company because they wanted to create their own games. And then, you know, Moon was the anti-RPG. It was because they worked on Chrono Trigger, and mm-hmm. Moon is a whole different thing. It pokes fun of it and twists the what a normal RPG was during the time period.
Right. And now that Moon's being released, it's coming out, it's like those developers that worked on it at the time can now get a chance to see what their project come to light over here, because it came out overseas, but now it's coming here. So it's cool to see that happen, people's true art happening and being shown off the way they intended it to be.
Yep.
So
yeah, the first time in English, official English, but I mean, even in fan translations, it's never been completely done for this game in particular.
Man, so that's going to be really cool. But Vic, also, when we at PlayStation State of Play a few weeks ago, you said you weren't really in tune with that bug game they showed off. What about Bug Snatch, man? Are these bugs more cuddly for you?
Oh, is that the video that's playing right now?
Yeah, Bug Snatch.
yeah. See, these, yeah, this is like a little like Pixar kind of cartoony.
Yeah.
I like that. Yeah, I like my things derpy looking, you know, cute and cuddly. Or, you know, it doesn't have to be cute and cuddly. It can be completely stupid looking. You know, like that Muppet looking one over there that just passed by. It looks like a Muppet. See, that art style, that I can appreciate.
There you go. Perfect for the entire family. Yeah, apparently in that game, your job is to catch the bugs as pets, but yeah, it looks like a fun little game that you play. Apparently the music's pretty good too, so I didn't really get a chance to hear, so that should be a fun game. And the last one that I thought was pretty cool was this one called Hood. It was called Hood for PS4, and it's coming out for PS5 as well too, but it's one of those kind of like a rainbow game where you have like a four 5v4, maybe 5v5, and you have to put your goal is to get the treasure, some treasure at the end, and you go in against each other. So look, they showed that all, which is pretty cool too. But of course, everybody's favorite game, everybody's looking forward to, Temtem is coming to the PS5.
I did see that.
Temtem, the Pokemon pretty much carbon copy that is coming, which has actually been getting good reviews on PC. It came out on PC earlier this year, and people have been responding to it nicely. So, Vic, as our Pokemon expert over here, how do you feel about Temtem? What are your first impressions?
I haven't really looked deeply into it. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, anything to keep pressure on Game Freak. Because, Game Freak really needs to reevaluate. Because it's very frustrating to be a Pokemon fan. And they change things for the sake of changing things. But, why don't they keep the things that we do like?
I agree.
Yeah.
And that's what keeps some people that have been longtime fans from playing the newer games, because things have been changed so much. So but keep the things that work. And I think Temtem, I know very little about it, but I like that you said that it keeps Game Freak on their toes, because this game is more of an MMO style game.
Yeah. And that's what a lot of people have been wanting with
exactly
the Pokemon.
And wasn't that one of the things that got found in that data mine like a few weeks ago? It was supposed to be, I think there was an unreleased or Pokemon MMO that got found out in that big Nintendo leak that happened.
Was there?
Yeah, I think I read somewhere there was supposed to be a Pokemon MMO. And
Temtem, that would have been interesting.
Yeah. But Temtem looks pretty cool with, instead of using Pokeballs, they come out of cards. And Temtem up in 2021. So we got a Temtem up in 2021. And I don't know what their catchphrase is. Maybe that's what it is.
Temtem up.
Temtem up. So that's Sony's PS5 State of Play. We'll probably get something else by the end of the month, or maybe beginning of next month, because we're getting closer to that holiday 2020 date. And we still don't know any prices. We still don't know any release dates. So we'll keep our eyes peeled for some more news on that. But when we come back, we're going to get into some other gaming news, and we have a Warzone update.
All right.
We'll be right back on the Diamond of Truth podcast.
We're back on the Diamond of Truth podcast, and we just had a great offline conversation. Before we get into our Warzone update with Kenny, usually we have a good story time with Isaiah, but now we are going to be treated, guys, to a great story time with Vic. earlier this week, Florida had this Hurricane Isaiah, we're going to call it. I know that's not how you say it, but we're just going to call it Hurricane Isaiah for the sake of this conversation. And apparently it didn't really hit Florida as bad, but it kind of bypassed Florida, and then, but it really came up here, and we're in the DMV area, and we got a whole bunch of rain, and that rain just slammed us just complete for like a whole straight 24 hours. And apparently that wasn't good for where Vic was. So what happened with this storm that Isaiah caused, Vic?
Yeah, what did I do to you, man?
I know. We still sort of blame you for that one too. Yeah. We jokingly say, "Oh man, Isaiah, what's going on?"
He leaves.
I just wanted to come back home.
So the power in my area got knocked out for 9.5 hours.
Wow.
So you can imagine it started out nice, bright, and sunny, but then, it's dark towards the end of the day. Mm-hmm. And that's when I usually, get to take a shower, because that's when the kids, they're finally down taking their naps, or someone else finally comes home to, take over, give me a break. But there's no power in the house, and the bathroom is in the middle of the house, so there's no windows or anything, so it's completely dark if you were to close the door. So it's my time to go to the shower, and then my sister says, "Oh yeah, just keep the door open, I'll make sure the kids don't go upstairs to bother you." But You know, kids, right? Kids don't listen. They have no boundaries. So, you know, I go to the bathroom. I take my shower. You know, as soon as I pop open the curtain, I hear something. I'm like, what's going on? What's that? It's like, first is a little tap. It's like, tap, 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 tap on the door. I was like, no, you're not up here, are you? You know, all of a sudden, boom. He's just like, boom. And I see the little boy, the baby of the boy. He walks in, and then he's laughing and smiling. And I'm like, oh, my God, get out of here. And I grab my towel, and I cover up because I just got out of the shower. I literally just popped the curtain open. And he's like laughing. And then I'm like, no, get out of here, child. Go, get out of here. The boy did not take it well. He's like, oh, you're mad at me. So then he puts on that face. He's like, starts crying. And then he goes, lays down on the floor and starts crying. But he's still there in front of the open door. And he's crying all sad and everything. I'm like, get out of here so I can dress up. But then, you know, his cries, it summons the bigger boy.
Uh-oh.
So all of a sudden, out of nowhere, I start hearing bump, a bump, a bump, a bump. So the big boy, he starts running up the stairs because he's like, what's going on? I have to see what's going on. Is there something fun happening here? So then I see him. He swings the gate open from the top of the stairs, and then he's like, and he starts waving at me. I'm like, you get out of here. You know, all of a sudden, I have both boys. They're like crying, hitting the floor because they think I'm mad at them. But I'm like, no, get out of here so I can dress up.
I just like, get out of here. All this while you're in a towel still.
I'm still in a towel. I'm like, I'm just, because that typical scene in like a movie or a show where they barge in on a woman in the shower and then, you know, they cover up their towel. It's like, exactly like that. That was me. So I'm like, I'm yelling at them, get out of here. Get out of here, children. Oh my God.
Oh man.
Yep.
That's funny.
And of course, yeah, they didn't move because they're like, oh, I'm in trouble. So it made it, that moment lasted so much longer than it needed to be.
Oh man.
It finally got to the point where, you know, all right, you know what? I had to fully wrap myself and then I just zoom past them. I'm like, all right, get out of my way. I just shoved them aside and just like, all right, I'm done. Move out. Get out.
Can I at least get some socks on or something?
I just wrapped up, left, just went straight through them, went to the room and closed the door behind me and locked the door because the big boy can open doors.
Man, we got to figure out. I guess there's some light sleepers, man.
Someone's taking a shower. It's time to wake
up.
Too funny.
And it's dark too. The only light is from the door and a little night light that has a battery pack in it. So you know it's dark and they're just there screaming their little heads off.
I just love the image of the big brother just coming to see what is going on. Why is little bro crying? Just coming in, stomping.
Right?
What am I missing?
He has to find out if there's something going on.
Oh, man, that is hilarious. Oh, well, that has been story time with Vic. We got to.
That's good.
Oh, man. Well, this is a big week with Call of Duty news. Actually, I think Modern Warfare 2, the campaign, is the free game this month, or one of them for PlayStation Plus. That was my favorite, Modern Warfare 2. With that being said, we have our Warzone expert with us, Special K, Kenny. And
Special K.
He's going to give us our Warzone update.
Yes, sir.
Life is a war zone. Let's get a war zone update from Kenny.
Well, you know, season 5 is out, and that was a big update. That thing was like, I don't know, 50 gigs or something.
Ooh.
But with it, there's big map changes. The stadium in the middle of the map is open. The train going around now. I haven't been able to, you know, go around and explore because I end up dying half the time. But on top of that, they added like a new operators, the Shadow Company. Ooh. Right now, the guy is Lurch. He's one of the operators that they introduced. And then we get two new weapons, SMG, ISO, and then a new AR, the AN-94, which has a little 2-round burst if you tap the trigger with it. And then they did some little tweaks, you know, fixing bugs and all that. But they did add something that everyone's been waiting for since the release. Now you can inspect your weapon.
What's that mean?
That means you could just, because you know how Call of Duty has skins you can unlock and all that, and different attachments and all different looks on the weapon, like stickers and camos.
Yeah.
So people unlock all of this stuff. And they're like, man, how am I going to see it, though? You can't inspect the weapon. You know, just look around, just admire it. Now they finally added that. I haven't been able to try it out again because I can't get my guns because I keep dying. Yeah, man. Time to grind out that 100 battle pass again. 100 levels.
100 levels?
Ooh. Yeah.
Wow.
Wait, they should be. They always do little updates in between the seasons, too. We'll see what we get. They added new maps, too, I think. I think it was Harbor.
So.
Yeah, go ahead.
You said you're always dying. So what is like your average lifespan? Like how long do you usually survive in
Warzone?
Yeah.
Shoot. I don't know, maybe 5 minutes.
That seems pretty good though.
So that's only if I drop and no one's around.
As far as away from people as possible.
Yep. You gotta run.
And then edge of the map.
No, when I do that, I drop at the edge and no one's around. I always end up trying to run into the circle because, you know, the gas comes because trying to reduce the map size.
Mm-hmm.
If I don't get killed on the way while I'm running in there, it's usually when I get killed by the gas. Just drop hot and hope you survive.
Wow. So when does this come out? When does season 5 come out?
Oh, it already came out. It came out a couple days ago.
Oh, it's already out. Okay, so that's why you have to grind to 100.
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, we'll be waiting to hear some more about your grind to 100. What level are you at now?
6.
Okay. Well, you still got some time. So
I got a lot of time, man. hopefully we can make the lifespan to 6 too.
Oh man. Oh, what a grind. Grinding games are, you know, it's fun when you have to grind sometimes, but doing it over again. So what was the grind like before this?
Oh, it's always, so in the original game, you have to grind to unlock, you know, weapons, kill streaks, attachments, and all that. But with the battle passes, if you buy the battle pass, there's 100 levels, and they give you, you know, free stuff, or not, well, not free because you bought the battle pass, but you get unlockables like extra experience bonus tokens, weapon skins, operator skins, or, you know, emblems and all that.
Mm-hmm.
So I bought the first one, and then if you get to 100, you actually get enough COD currency to buy the next battle pass. So if you don't spend it on other, you know, special edition skins and camos and all that, you can actually just buy one. You have to get to level 100, and then you can buy the next one.
Ah.
But, you know, they always entice you with, look, this one fires blue bullets. You're like, what? Blue bullets?
Oh, got to get the blue bullets.
Got to get
man.
Those. That's how they get you.
If the gun shot out sprinkles, I would be getting that myself, too.
We got a Krispy Kreme edition of SMG right here. Sprinkles all around.
So Vic, you're playing Grand Theft Auto. That's your game for the week. Anything new for GTA?
Yeah, they just announced the summer DLC plans. Yesterday actually. It's pretty weak.
Oh,
I mean, it doesn't excite me because the major update in there is if you own a super yacht, then they added new missions and co-op things to do with the yacht. But, you know, I don't have a yacht because it costs, the base price is $6 million. And wow. I don't have $6 million.
Man, got to get your drug empire going more, man. Got to tell you, got to tell your corner boys to work that corner harder.
Ooh. I'm trying.
But that yacht, it costs 10 mil if you want everything. Yeah, that's because the 6 mil is base price.
Wow.
But 10 mil is when you can actually use all the things on the yacht.
Wow.
Yeah. But they're still promising a big content drop at the end of the year. So I'm guessing they're going to add a new heist, maybe. Because they also mentioned that they're also adding a new location for us to do stuff in. I'm thinking maybe they're going to convert one of these buildings into a big, you know, heist mission location. Something like that. I highly doubt they're going to let us go back to another region, like North Yankton. But it would be cool if that was the case.
That'd be cool. So... something to look forward to. So you think you're going to get a yacht at some point? Do you want a yacht?
Maybe. I mean, I'm just waiting for that bonus to come back. You know, I need to get my cocaine up.
Oh, yeah.
Some of my illegal guns. Oh, yeah. You know, I got counterfeit cash going.
So casually.
I still need to buy, you know. I still need to set up a meth lab because I haven't bought my meth lab yet. I still need to buy a weed farm. You know, those are things I still need to buy.
Just the simple things. Yeah.
I mean, I got my nightclub running. You know, I'm running some legal junk in there too.
Oh man.
See, that's why you gotta love Grand Theft Auto. I mean, you all that stuff is, of course, illegal in life, but you know, just play it in the game. You know, if you want that lifestyle, just play it in the game and it's perfectly fine.
This game is more like an illegal business simulator than anything else.
What was that old game on there was a game like that on the old TI-83s. There's a game where you could just like sell drugs. And I remember being in high school and you had that game, and it's a game where you literally could just sell like different drugs. Weed.
Is that like Pimp Quest or something?
Yeah. It was literally a game that you should not play as a high schooler because those were things that were probably going on. But you could literally Grand Theft Auto is Pimp Quest on steroids.
Oh man.
Well, actually, we're gonna leave it right there. We're gonna come right back and we're gonna guys, I have the list of the Switch's all-time top 5 selling games, and it's going to blow your mind on what's number one. So when we come back, the all-time best-selling Switch game so far.
Don't be a square. Back to the Diamond of Truth podcast.
All right, so we're back on the Diamond of Truth podcast. Man, some big news came out this week that I'm very excited about. Recently, I got into John Wick maybe about a few months ago. I didn't see, my dad had been telling me to watch the movies. And I'm like, yeah, I'll watch them. You know, Keanu Reeves, you know, I like him, you know, never was a fan, but he would always tell me, you got to watch it, man. You got to watch it. You know,
whoa, you haven't seen John Wick till now?
Yeah, my wife and I saw it, I think, earlier this year.
Best action
they do
choreography one, especially the Russian club scene.
Yes.
that was ridiculous. That's like the first time I realized like how important choreography is in an action movie, because usually when you see that kind of stuff, it's very cut flashy. Yep. Like the cuts to different scenes really really fast, so you're not really understanding the whole progression of the fight. But then when you see John Wick, it changed the game when they were going through the especially the Russian club. It was flowing. You saw all the action going on, and it's like methodical.
Yep, it was nonstop. It was like went from one to the next to the next. I loved the cinematography in that movie, and I'm mad I got to it late. So I'm so excited to hear that they're doing 4 and 5. They're going to film them back to back, meaning that we should get 4 1 year, then maybe 5 right afterwards. Man, it's a series that when you look at it, you're like, wow, how is he doing this? But you're just amazed by the work that has gone to the fight scenes in the movie.
Oh, definitely. Especially they make a point to show reloads don't see that often in action movies during gunfights.
That's true.
And then there's even a very fine detail. Do you remember in the, I think it was the second one, when he was in the museum, when he was trying to get the guy who you know betrayed him.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you saw this, but there's a point in there when he reloads his gun, it jams. And so he's like, he has to clear the jam as he's moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently that was a really specific callback to that exact type of gun, because the model that he was using, it has that problem in real life. So they show that problem in the movie. Like, it's not like, because you know, with reload, it usually it's perfect when they show it, but this one, they showed an actual problem that the real firearm has.
That is very authentic.
It's all in the details.
Wow.
All details make things, you know, extra special.
That is that is very, very detailed. And I love, so I'm so excited for 4 and 5. I'm so mad that I got to it late, because my dad had watched them as they came out. But it was fun to watch 1, 2, and 3 back to back to back, though. So that was also fun.
You didn't have to wait for that pencil.
Yes.
You know, father knows best, man. You should have listened to him.
I know. I should have listened to the old man. Speaking of movies, there was also another big story that came out this week with another big movie that Disney is supposed to be putting out on Disney Plus now, which is Mulan. And, you know, Disney Plus is now saying they're going to charge $30 now to watch Mulan on Disney Plus.
That's cool. And,
you know, it's
on top of the membership.
On top of the membership, right. Yeah.
Oh, dang.
So I don't know if that's just for Mulan or if that's going to be for other movies. But I bring that up because we were talking about action scenes, and I remembered that how I really love Ip Man. And I love the action scenes in there with Donnie Yen. And I was looking up Mulan, this new movie. And did you guys know that Donnie Yen's going to be in this movie too?
Yeah.
Yeah, so Donnie Yen.
I think that,
So, Donnie Yen, I didn't realize how a lot this guy is doing. Isn't he in that movie we were talking about last week too? The
Enter the Fat Dragon.
Yes, Enter the Fat Dragon. Yes. still for our first virtual movie night is good. Enter the Fat Dragon with Donnie Yen. But yeah, so a lot of good movie news with Mulan and John Wick. I just hope he can find a way. I just love seeing ways he does kill people. So I just love seeing it. It's like he's like the MacGyver of killing people,
right? A pencil.
Have a pencil.
A pencil. Oh man. Also announced this week, Nintendo says that Pikmin 3 is going to be available on October 30th on the Switch. Which is an interesting. Did you guys ever play the Pikmin games?
Yeah, I have. I have the one on the Wii U. Was that 3?
I think it was. Yeah, I think it was 3.
Yeah, it was free for some reason, and I was able to claim it.
Yeah, it's people kind of worried that how it's going to work on Switch, because apparently on Wii U it uses the virtual handset, the screen in the middle a lot for it. So how is that going to work for the Switch? Whether it's going to be like gyro controls with it, but it reminds me that last year, October 30th, actually, I think it was 31st Halloween, that's when Luigi's Mansion 3 came out. So it seems that Nintendo likes to use like the end of October. We know November is usually Nintendo's month when they release some big things. But it seems like they've been using the end of October to release some of their first party franchises. So I guess we're getting Pikmin 3 this year. But I say that because, as teased in the last segment, I have the all-time best-selling Switch game so far. Now, the Switch came out in 2017, correct? Right, 2017, I think?
Yes.
And so far, we've had some really good, a lot of good titles, a lot of first-person titles, and that's going to be their one of all these games in their top five is a Switch game, a first-party Switch game. So, y'all ready for this list?
Yes, sir.
Let's do it.
All right, so here we go.
Number five
is Pokemon Sword and Shield, sold with 18.2 million copies. Oh. So, that's just the base game, not including the expansion, but Sword and Shield, number five, which is pretty cool because that game came out recently. So a game that's not even a year old is already on the top five.
And I think they said it was the highest selling for the franchise so far.
Wow. So Sword and Shield is top. Wow. Out of all of them. Wow. So Sword and Shield, number five.
Number four.
Zelda Breath of the Wild sold at 18.6 million copies, which is a launch title for the Switch, right? That game came out when the Switch first came out in 2017. So to see that's only a number four is remarkable because it sold really well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it did. It actually sold exceptionally well for a Zelda game. Mm-hmm. Because we look at Zelda and we always know that it's going to be a good game. And I mean, like a big seller. But in reality, when you look at the bigger picture, those kinds of games aren't actually the big sellers for a system.
Right. It's probably, would you think it's more third-party games that probably appeal to more mass or?
Well, I mean, in general, the genre that Zelda is in.
Oh, the genre. Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, definitely.
Because, I mean, if you were to compare it to, like, Mario, that's the big seller. By comparison, like, they way more sell numbers when you look at Mario by comparison.
Right. Which is true.
I mean, it's still a big game, but it doesn't appeal to, you know, the great masses.
Right. You're not going to have like if you give a 10-year-old Mario or Zelda, they're going to pick Mario 9 times out of 10. So definitely true on that. Number three. All right. Super Smash Brothers. Of course, is sold at 19.9 million. A game that came out. That came out in 2018, end of 2018. A lot of DLC with their characters, but probably one of their biggest franchises they ever had, Smash Bros.
Definitely.
So
it has a low point of entry for casual fans.
Yeah, that's true. If you're not already immersed in Smash Bros, you're probably not getting into it.
Yeah.
The new ones, but Smash Bros's following goes all the way back, of course, to 64, and it's only built and the fact that this one has all the characters and everything is like it's almost like a history museum of Smash Bros for this game. So this one, and I think it's the highest selling one.
I mean, that was the catchphrase though. Everyone is here.
Exactly. That was when that was announced. I remember being at school at work when they made that announcement and me, the teacher, running over to the fifth grade students who I know play Smash, telling them, "Yo, did y'all see this?" Oh, of course you didn't. You're in school. Let me tell you. I'm literally sitting at the cafeteria table while I'm supposed to be on duty. We're watching the live stream of Smash Bros. On my phone. I hope my boss doesn't hear this.
Yeah.
It'd be funny if he runs over. It's like, this is the new stuff?
Oh my God.
Number two.
All right, number two. So is the most recent game that's probably first party that's been selling like hotcakes since it came out in March during this quarantine, which is Animal Crossing. New Horizons sold at 22.4. Game has been selling like crazy for the Switch. Probably had a big spike in sales due to coronavirus. This game came out the week pretty much everybody shut down, or maybe the week after, March 20th. And so everybody was in. It was funny playing this game and watching everybody on Reddit access things at the same time because you had Nook's Museum opens Nook's shop opens upgrades after a month, and everybody's shop was upgraded at the same time.
Oh yeah.
So everybody's shop was closed at the same time. So 22.4 million copies sold of Animal Crossing New Horizons.
Ooh.
All right, so there's only one left, so let's go around the room and take a guess of what you think number one is going to be. We'll start with you, Ken. So if you had to think of which game is I'm not gonna do you, Ken, because Ken already knows. No. I don't think Isaiah's seen this. So Isaiah, what do you think number one is? Or just a genre. Any it could be any Nintendo. What franchise? Like a Metroid, a Zelda, a Mario game, Kirby, Yoshi.
Wait, is it first party still, or is it like
it's still first party?
Oh, it is.
Okay. Oh man,
well, I have no idea then.
Wait, first party? What does that mean again?
it's made by Nintendo, so it's like a Nintendo's own franchise. Yeah.
Ah. I'll have to go with the generic answer and say like a Mario game, one of the Mario games.
Okay. Any guesses, Vic?
Like, is this like sales?
Yeah, this is sales, like copy sold. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so it's like, not like any free to play, like Tetris. Oh dang, I'm blanking, man.
All right, well, you were pretty close.
Number one
is Mario Kart. So with 26.7 million copies, which is crazy because I'm actually not one of those people. I have not bought Mario Kart. My wife did, but I don't even have it.
I have.
Yeah, it's which is also a franchise that goes back all the way to the SNES. So it kind of makes sense that that game is probably the highest selling for Nintendo because Mario Kart has been on.
Well, because a lot of people missed out on it in the Wii U.
I didn't have Wii U. So was there a Mario Kart for that system?
This is the Mario Kart from the Wii U. That's why it's called Mario Kart 8 Deluxe.
Right.
That's where the deluxe comes from.
That makes
sense. So I already played it, but I bought it again because I had a lot of kids that summer. And especially from out of town because, you know, it was the wedding. Everyone's getting married that summer. So I had so many kids and I had to find something for them to do. And, you know, Mario Kart is just perfect. There's not a lot to know. And it's very easy to just say, hey, press A, hold it, wiggle around the stick.
Yep.
You're good.
Wiggle around the
stick. Wiggle around the stick.
That's like a good, like, number one. Now that I think about it.
Wiggle around the stick while you're taking a
number one.
I like that. Oh, man. So, yeah, those are top selling Switch games. A couple of other games that were honorable mentions after number five, I think, with Mario Party was on there. But yeah, those are top five. So guys, we missed it, man. I'm telling you guys, did you all even realize we missed it?
What?
What did we miss?
Last week, guys, we missed it. We missed Otakon last week, guys. Otakon was completely virtual last week. I didn't even know until yesterday. It went on as scheduled virtually. I saw a tweet online from Otakon that says, see you next year, 2021. I'm like, next year? We didn't even see you this year. And I look on the Twitter timeline. They had a whole event online last week. They had virtual badges, they had screenings and interviews and concerts and everything going on.
I wonder how much bandwidth all that took.
Was there a Zoom rave?
Thanks for listening to the Diamond of Truth podcast.
Talk right there.
All right, Kenny. What's going on?
I don't know. I don't want to be cheek to cheek.